Man, I can't wait. I couldn't wait to preach this message this morning. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke chapter number 10. Today's message is on dominating our time. Now, how many of you would say you've been busy? All right. How many of you guys would say, man, I almost didn't have enough time for church? How many would say, sometimes I find myself not having enough time to spend with my Lord and Savior Jesus? Okay. Everybody in here is busy. Everybody's busy about doing something. Some of it's productive, some of it's not very productive. We're going to read a story this morning about a woman named Mary and her sister Martha. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It says, "And it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his what? Heard his word. Listened to him. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving." She was busy and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha." It sounds like the Brady Bunch, doesn't it? "Marcia, Marcia, thou art careful." The word careful there is worry. It carries the idea of worry. "And troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." You see that phrase there? "One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part." You're stressed out. You're busy. You've missed the most important part. Jesus is in a recliner in your living room. You're missing out. "Which shall not be taken away from her." Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us as we look at all the busyness of life, Lord. And the devil would love to have us so busy that we don't have time for our Savior. Lord, I pray that our ministry would be an outpouring, an outflow of our relationship with you. And Lord, may we not get busy doing good things and neglect the best thing, which is spending time with you. I pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys have been busy? How many of you guys are busy this week? How many of you guys are thankful that it's been beautiful out this whole week? I'll tell you what, man. But then Wood TV 8 comes on and says it's a snow-rain mix this week and it has to pour this terrible rain upon our sunshine, you know? That's why I don't watch the news anymore, you know? Somebody else told me that. So I'm just enjoying today. We've been busy. It's kind of like going to Walmart. When we go to Walmart, I get my family together and say, "Now listen, we're going to Walmart, so just be prepared that there's going to be 100 people and one register open." That's exactly what happened. We get done shopping, and there's one register, and the line is like a mile long. I said, "See, but you know everything's cheaper," and so we go there, and because we're part Dutch, and it's just what we do. At my house the other day, we've been busy unpacking boxes, and I was putting together some speakers down there in the living room, and I was kind of testing them out on my Pandora, and I was listening to some music, and my kids were upstairs, and all they could hear was the bass. And my daughter Bella kind of put her ear to the floor and said, "Oh, it's God music, Mom." You know, she thought I was listening to like bad music in my basement. And she comes down, and she comes to me. She goes, "Dad, you're not on drugs, are you?" I'm like, "What? Not on drugs? What?" How many guys ever felt like maybe I should be on drugs? I don't know. It's crazy. You know, we live in a crazy world. You know, being a pastor, people say this to me all the time. They're like, "Pastor, I know you're busy. I know you're busy, but I hear that every week. I'm not too busy for you." I mean, there's some times where I'd be like, "Hey, let's schedule an appointment. We can meet you this time." But a lot of people, what they're saying, they're being respectful. They're saying, "Hey, I know you're busy, but, you know," and we're all busy. We are. And man, there's a lot of things I'd like to do. I'd like to reach people in the prisons. I'd like to make sure that people in other countries have water for their family. And I want to make sure that sex trafficking stops. And I want to stop abortion. And there's so many concerns out there. And it seems like for the Christian, it becomes so overwhelming to have all these needs in front of us, but only be one person. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And our circle of influence will always be smaller than our circle of concern. always. You can only do so much with who you are. That's it. It's just you and me. Now, how many of you guys are thankful we serve an all-knowing, all-powerful God who is concerned about those things and uses different people and their abilities in different churches and different backgrounds to meet those needs? How many of you guys are thankful for that? So you don't have to sit at your home stressed out with not meeting all the needs of the whole world because you're just one person. God has given you just enough grace in your day to do everything He's called you to do gracefully. The Christian life was never meant to be filled with fear and anxiety or to be stressed out. If you're living a completely stressed out, busy life, you are living outside the bounds of God's plan for your life. Amen. Here's a woman named Martha who's stressed out and God is in her living room. And there's her sister. She's not stressed out. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I'm telling you, we can learn some amazing lessons from this story here this morning. Do you ever feel like you're doing more and getting less done? Isn't it amazing that all the modern technology with email and we have text messaging and cell phones, and it seems like it's supposed to make life easier, but it seems like it's gotten a lot more complicated. It's gotten a lot more busier. Do you feel like your Christian life is more of a job than an adventure? It's a duty. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be an adventure. It's supposed to be awesome. It's supposed to be great. I'm not saying perfect. But man, when you trust the Lord and you follow His plan, it should be great. Do you feel like you're performing more religious activity and producing less and less spiritual fruit? Do you feel like your Bible time is just words on a page and not life to your soul? God gives us the answer on how to fix this in our life. And I want to share with you some of the symptoms of being over busy. For being so busy that we become barren. Okay? We're so busy we become barren in our soul. We become so empty and so fruitless and so anxious and fearful. I want to give you some symptoms of somebody who's totally stressed out. Notice in verse number 40, the Bible says, and Martha was what? Cumbered about with much serving. And she came to Him and said, Lord, don't You even care about me? My sister has left me to serve alone, and won't You bid her, won't You tell her to come and help me? We see some symptoms of somebody who's busy but barren. We see somebody who's busy but stressed out. What are the symptoms? First of all, one of the symptoms of being so busy is fatigue. Is fatigue. Now, I'm not talking about physical fatigue. I think that a person was designed to work hard. By the end of the day, they should be physically exhausted so they go to sleep. Okay? I'm not talking about physical exhaustion. I'm talking about emotional and spiritual depletion. I'm talking about, it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, you just feel drained. You still feel empty. You can sleep 10, 20 hours a day and you still feel empty. That's what I'm talking about when I say fatigue. The Christian life was meant for you to find rest in Jesus. Are you guys with me? Not to be so stressed out. I'll give you some verses. Hebrews 4:3, it says, for we which have believed, so if you're a believer, do enter into what? It doesn't say stress. It says rest. Isn't that what it says? If you're a believer, you enter into His rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Look at Hebrews 4:9. It says, Therefore remain a rest to the people of God. You know why we don't celebrate the Sabbath like they did in the Old Testament? Because Jesus said, I am your rest. I am your Sabbath. You find rest for your soul in Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. This is what Jesus said. He says, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, means I'll receive you, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Where do we find our rest? Where do we find our rejuvenation for the spiritual life? Where do we find that? Who do we find that in? We find that in the person of Jesus Christ. And somebody who's living apart from Christ, but busy about all the activities of the day and meeting all the needs and demands of life, and you don't spend time with Jesus, you're going to find your soul in a spirit of fatigue, stressed out. Another symptom is fear. Anxiety, fear. You notice her spirit here. She was cumbered about with serving. He says, don't you even care? And she was anxious. And Jesus said, be careful for nothing, right? The word careful carries the idea of worry, anxiety. The Christian life is not to be a life of anxiety and fear. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you're not living in God's power, you aren't living in God's love, or you don't have a sound mind, that means that you are busy about life without being filled up by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Life is not meant to live in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. If you're living in fear and you're living in anxiety, you're living apart from the love of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. That's the symptom of living apart from Christ. You guys with me? I'm talking to religious people. I'm talking about people who will go to church, born again, go to church. And they're burnt out. And they're anxious. And they're in fear, and they don't have... That's not how God has designed us. Philippians 4:6 says this, be careful for... how many things? Should we worry about death? Is that what it says? Should we worry about our finances? Now, does that mean we shouldn't go to work either? No, because that's a fool. Okay. And should we worry about things that probably will never happen? No. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, so you're directing your attention upon God, who will answer that anxiety, that problem. By prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. And if you find yourself living in fear and anxiety, the Bible says direct that attention, use that energy towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the Christian life was never, ever designed by God to be lived in fatigue or to be lived in fear. It's like a slow leak in your tire. You know, the load isn't getting any lighter when the tire is deflating. Eventually, there's going to be blowout. Okay? And so when you're living in this habitual state of fatigue and fear, you're going to find yourself blowing out. You're going to find yourself burning out in the ministry. Number three, I want you to notice another symptom is frustration. How many of you guys would say Martha was pretty frustrated? Aren't you going to send her back in here and help me out? Like, what's going on, Lord? She was frustrated with her Savior. She was frustrated with Him. Notice what she says in verse 40. She says that Martha was cumbered about and she came to him and said, Lord, you dost thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Don't you care? Here she is. She's frustrated. It's a sign of spiritual barrenness to be frustrated with God. She blamed the Lord for her predicament. She blamed the Lord for her frustration. And that's when you know you're spiritually depleted, is when you're frustrated with God. Then she blames her sister. I love this part because she says, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now, she didn't refer to her as Mary. You know you're frustrated with somebody when you refer to them as your sister. My sister didn't come in here. She didn't say Mary. You can tell she was frustrated. Call her. That's when you're mad at your husband. My husband. My wife. She was frustrated with the Lord. She was frustrated with her sister. When I'm frustrated, when I'm irritated with ministry, I'm irritated with my family, I'm irritated with the Lord and with my kids, it's an indication of spiritual barrenness. It's an indication that I'm not filling up my soul with the words of Jesus Christ. So we see some symptoms of somebody who's busy about life but not filling up themselves. So we see the symptoms. Number two, I want you to see the source. I want you to see the source from our story. Well, what was the source of her barrenness, her spiritual barrenness, her frustration and her fear and her fatigue? Well, she was distracted from Christ. She was distracted from Christ. Martha was distracted with all the preparation, right? And we would look at the story back. She was doing good things, right? I mean, she was preparing the meal, getting the table set, and she was just busy, 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 frustrated that somebody else wasn't helping her out. I was like, I'm going to do this alone? She was distracted from the most important thing in her life. You see, the essence of the Christian life is not religious activity, but a vital living relationship. Jesus is our life. When we get distracted from Jesus, we are going to crash and we are going to burn. Let me ask you something. When your computer doesn't turn on, where do you look first? Where? The power source. You plug it in, right? Here's what happens when we've lost complete power in our life. Here's what happens when we've lost all energy and motivation and purpose in life. We have to look at where we've been plugging in all week. We have to examine where we've been spending our mental and emotional energy. Where have we been plugging in to fill up ourselves? I'm here to tell you, you got to plug into Jesus Christ. And if not, you're going to be depleted. This is the source of her barrenness spiritually. She's distracted. People can distract us. Right? Ministry can distract us from the purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. Now, God has given you great people in your life, but those people are in your life so you can replace God with those people. God didn't give me a ministry so I can replace God with the ministry. That was a great gift, and I'm so thankful for that. But we can easily get distracted from the most important thing in our life, and that's our relationship with Jesus, sitting at His feet and hearing from Him and talking to Him. That's the most important part of the Christian life, in that my ministry and my time with people is an outpouring, an outflow of my relationship with Christ. You with me? We get so busy in school, we want to get our projects done, and man, we got the oil to change at the car, and we got to clean the car, you know, and the tires are going bald, and we got all these concerns, and we got to get to work on time, we got to pay this bill, and we got to go to this ministry, and all those things are good and important, and they distract us from the most important thing, and that's time with Jesus. All these things, God has great gifts that God has given us. Can I get an amen on that? Great gifts. But don't let those great gifts distract you from the most important gift, and that's Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest gift ever was wrapped in a manger. His name was Jesus. That's the greatest gift you have. Don't neglect Jesus for the gifts that He's given you. We get so caught up even in the details of worship. You know, we put together the song slides. We get so caught up in how it's performed. We get so caught up in all the details of the worship that we forget to worship. Do you see how easy it is to get distracted? And so she's distracted from Christ. And then what happens is there's a distorted perspective on life. A distorted perspective on life. It's so easy to get distorted perspective from the best thing by being caught up in the good things. So, like I said, Jesus, God, master of the universe, created the worlds, created Martha and Mary, and He's sitting in her living room. Here we see a distorted perspective on life. We get distorted priorities, don't we? What was more important to Jesus at that moment? Was it her serving Him or was it her sitting at His feet? Spending time with Him. We get this distorted perspective on life, and many times because of that distorted perspective on life, we get our priorities out of whack. Right? Right, businessman? We get so focused on making money, we got to make more money, that our priorities with God and our wife and our kids get totally out of order. What's it going to matter if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What's it going to matter? You make a whole bunch of money and your wife leaves you. Can I get an amen to that? What's it going to matter? You make all this money and your kids want nothing to do with you anymore. You got to pursue your priorities, and your priority is God, Listen, if you're married, it's your spouse. If you have kids, it's your kids. If it's your church, it's your church. Then it's your job and your friends. That's your priority list. And sometimes we get this distorted perspective of life, and it's distorted because we are not spending time with Jesus. We think money is the pursuit, or we think this activity or this pursuit, this goal, this purpose is, and we get so distracted from the most important thing, and that's with Jesus Christ. The very thing that God has called you to do is now taking priority over the one who gave it to you. You guys with me? The very thing God's called you to do, to be married, has taken priority over God. Or maybe your job has taken priority over your marriage. And I'm telling you, you're going to get a distorted perspective on life if you're not spending time with your Savior. I hope everybody's listening right here. You with me? You're going to think sports are more important. Your identity is going to be wrapped up in your sports. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose sports and you're going to lose your identity. I don't know who I am anymore. Look, I know who I am and who I believed. I know I'm a child of God and my identity is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And man, if things fall apart, I lose some money or I lose a house or I lose something, hey, that's okay because I have the most important thing in life and that's Jesus Christ. And I'm going to enjoy the gifts that God has given me, not take them for granted. But man, my priority in life is Christ. And her priority was off. Martha's priority was way off. She had a distorted perspective. So what's the solution? Let me give you the solution. Look in verse 39 and verse 42. Verse 39, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also, let's say those words together, sat at Jesus' feet. Let's say those again. Sat at Jesus' feet. Then it goes on to say, and heard his word. Do you guys see that? Now, who was getting filled up? Martha or Mary? Mary. Now, look at verse number 42. Jesus says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha here, she's busy doing something good, but she has lost all of her joy. Her perspective on life is completely off. She's distracted. And Jesus gives her one thing that's going to fix it. Are you guys with me? He said, man, Pastor, I feel like Martha. I feel like this person. There's one thing that'll fix it. You ready for it? It's Jesus. It's funny because when I taught junior church at a church many years ago, any question I'd ask, I'd say, "What?" The answer was always Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, the answer is always Jesus. You say, what do you mean? The answer is Jesus. Mary discovered that her relationship with Jesus was more important than anything else. Are you guys with me? It was more important than playing the piano. It was more important than preaching a sermon. It was more important than serving in the nursery. It was more important than digging wells for those who need water. What's more important than anything else is your relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason why we feel so depleted, we feel so frustrated, we feel so anxious and so fearful is simply because we're not spending time with the one who can overcome those things. So the solution is Jesus. Let me give you three spiritual truths really quick. Number one, Jesus is more interested in what you do with him than what you do for him. Jesus is more interested in what you do with him than what you do for him. Number two, Jesus is more interested in you than anything you could do for him. Remember when Nicodemus, a ruler of the synagogue, wasn't even born again, wasn't even saved. By the way, you know you could be religious and not saved. Religion doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Remember, even Jesus is the answer to our salvation. He's more interested in you. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and says, what more good thing can I do to get to heaven? Jesus says, you need to be born again. What Jesus was more interested with Nicodemus was Nicodemus and Jesus' relationship than what Nicodemus could do more for him. You guys get what I'm saying? Christ is more concerned about you and him spending time together than what you do for him. Number three, you will never be any more for Jesus than you will with Jesus. In other words, you will never become what God has called you to be. You'll never reach that potential that God has for your life unless you're spending that time with Him. That's where you gain your source of energy and power. And spiritual fruit comes and it flows through Christ, not through your self-effort, not through my self-effort. It comes as an outpouring, an outflowing of my relationship with Christ. It's just oozing out of us. It's not me just trying to do things for God. God's not interested in that as much as He's interested in what you do with Him. So what's the solution? Well, Mary gives us the solution. We saw the problem with Martha, but let's talk about Mary for just a second. What's the solution? How can we live a life of power, love, sound mind, to go to bed at night knowing, hey, you know, I don't have to worry about every concern out there, but I know I did what God has called me to do. How can I live that kind of life? How can I enjoy my life? Let me ask you this. How many of you guys want to enjoy your life? Let me give you the solution. You guys ready for it? Okay, number one, you have to adore Jesus. Mary, where did she sit? She sat at the Lord's feet. She was in a position of adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ, beholding His glory, in reverence of His majesty, beholding His beauty. She was sitting at His feet. You say, how do we do that today? We can't see Jesus. You could behold Him at His word. You could behold Him in prayer, and you can meditate upon what He said in His word, and you can sit at Jesus' feet every day and fill up from the word of God. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You don't live on bread from the store. You live on the Word of God. Bread's not going to give you what the Bible can. I mean, Jeremiah said, I desire the words of the Lord more than my necessary food. He said, I saw the words of the Lord and I did eat them. And 1 Peter says we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word and grow thereby. And she's just in adoration towards Christ. Just here you are. You can sit at His feet and just hear from Jesus. Say, how can I hear from Jesus? He's given you His words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you read the Bible, you're hearing and listening and reading the very words of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. Every word that you read in your Bible was given, inspired by God, written by holy men of God, 1 Peter 1:20 and 21. The very words from Genesis to Revelation are the very words of God. Psalms 12, 1 and 2, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Every time the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, what did Jesus say? As it is written, uses the word of God as a sword to fend off the devil. Let me just tell you something. You sit at His feet. You sit at His feet through His word, through prayer. You say, what do you mean by prayer? How many of you guys have ever just been anxious? How many of you guys have ever just been filled with fear? Bible college students, you got midterms, you know? Yeah. How many of you guys have been like, I'm afraid of death. I'm afraid of my children passing away. I'm afraid of all these things. And sometimes that has happened. What are we supposed to do when that overwhelms our heart? Casting all of your care upon Him, for He what? And when we don't pray, what we're saying is, Lord, I don't think You really care about me. And so you sit at His feet through the Word of God. You sit at His feet through prayer. He's talking to you, and you're talking to Him. Adoration. So how can I live a stress-free life? Adoration. Spend time with the one who can overcome your stress. Adoration. Mary was at His feet, beholding His face. I like what Psalm 27, verse 8 says. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In order to seek the face of God, you have to pull away from all the busyness. You got to make time for your Savior. You have to adore him. Number two, you notice Mary? She was attentive to Jesus. She was attentive to Jesus. Shonda and I, we love buffets. How many of you guys like buffets? How many of you guys are going to one after church today? How many of you guys are cooking after church today? Wow, are any of you eating? Like, what is going on? How many of you guys going out to eat afterwards? All right, a few of you, okay, all right. How many of you guys are hungry right now? Pastor, quit talking about it. I love buffets. Wouldn't it be great if we can go to a buffet today, eat all we want, and it sustained us for the whole week? Wouldn't that be great? What happens after we eat buffet today? We're looking in our fridge by night, aren't we? I mean, we're not satisfied, are we? We're going in there Monday. We got to eat every single day. And sometimes we're spoon-fed food on Sunday, and we think we're going to live on that spiritual food all week. You got to be attentive to God all week. Sunday morning should not be the only time you eat spiritually. Or where you're attentive to Jesus Christ. It should be every day. Sunday morning should just be a catalyst to your relationship with Christ Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. That you can't wait to spend time with your Savior throughout the rest of the week. That you're attentive to His voice. Not just in your devotional time, but throughout the day. When you're heading to classes, or when you're heading to work, or when you're, you know, taking care of all the kiddos, or you're cooking the meal. That you're constantly attentive to the words of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mary learned that Jesus is the Word of God, and listening to Jesus was more important than anything she could do. She was attentive to His words, as I was talking about, the Word of God. Now, our doing for God should be an outpouring of our time with Christ. You know, Jesus, in Revelation, He didn't say, "I stand at the door and knock, that you may answer so that you could do more work for me." I stand at the door and knock, so that you can open it up and what? Sup with me. Do you know what Christ cares more than our doing for God? Is our supplication with God. Do you know what He wants more than anything else? And what we should, our souls should desire more than anything else? Is just spending time with Him. And when you spend time with God, let me tell you something from personal experience. A person who's talking up here who has been completely depleted, a person who has experienced emptiness, that when you spend time with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can walk out of your front door in the morning and you can serve people with gladness and with joy. You can go to your school and your classes and know, hey, you know what? Everything's in the Lord's hand. I'm not going to let anything ruin my day. I know whom I believe in and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm just thankful I'm saved, born again. When you're filling yourself up daily, attentive to Christ, you're going to be able to enjoy your life so much more the way God designed it. He didn't say stand at the door and knock so you can do more. He said stand at the door and knock so we can spend more time together. And then your doing comes after. Christ is speaking continually. If you're not listening, by the way, He's talking to you all the time. Just want to spend time with you. I know you're busy. I know you got classes. I know you got to get your makeup on. And I know you got to get dressed. And I know you're late for work. Do you got any time for me? He's continually speaking to us, always speaking to us. You even pick up a coin. It says, "In God we trust." God's everywhere. Just wanting to spend time with you. And our attention is on business deals. Our attention's on ledger sheets. It's on contracts and sales promotions and work responsibilities and ball games and our children and their demands and a million other things that demand our time and demand our attention. And Jesus is standing there saying, "Look, I just want you to be attentive to me just for 10 minutes. 20 minutes. Just get, and if you do, I'll fill you up. I'll give you what you need to fulfill the day gracefully and you can enjoy your life." You don't have to be the person where you say, "No, in 10 years, then I'll enjoy my life. When school's over and I'm married and we have a house, well, then I'll be happy." No, friend. If you're not happy now, you'll never be happy. If you're not happy now, you're never going to be happy. Because happiness is not wrapped in some thing or person. Happiness is wrapped in the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. It comes from God. If you're not spending time with God, you're not going to know what joy is. You may experience moments of happiness because you got your way, but you never experience joy in the midst of a trial. You never experience peace that passeth all understanding. Your life will be just a roller coaster. When things are going good, you're happy. When things are going bad, you'll be sad. It doesn't have to be that way. If you're attentive to Christ, spending time with Him, I'm telling you, man, He gives you His life. But you have to die to self in order to have that. Your life would be a lot less crowded, be a lot less confusing if you were listening to Jesus. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says, you know, the Word of God falls on lots of different kinds of soil in the heart. Sometimes it falls on stony ground, and the birds come and eat it up, and it doesn't plant anywhere. Sometimes it falls on this shallow soil, and it springs up, but the heat of trials comes and burns it up. And He gave a description of another type of soil. The person is super busy. Notice what it says in Luke 8:14. And that which fell among the thorns, the word of God, are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with what? It's on the screen. The word of God's choked. It's choked out with what? Cares. It's all the care, just all the things we got to take care of. We got the house, got the car, got the school wheel. We got a myriad of things. And the word of God is just kind of just choked out by the cares. And riches, people pursuing riches, that just chokes out the word. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for the Bible. I don't have time for church. I'm following riches. And then they find out riches don't really give them what they thought it would. Riches don't give the life to the soul like the word of God does. And pleasures of this life. And bring no fruit to perfection. The word perfection is maturity. That means that you handle pressure like Christ. So you have to adore Christ. You have to sit at His feet. You have to be attentive to Christ. Attentive to His words. What was Mary doing? Was she distracted? Or was she just, Lord, I just want to hear from You. And by the way, did the Lord hold her captive for, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? How long is this going to be, you know? That's not how the Christian life is, man. I hope you enjoy spending time with Jesus. I hope you enjoy just sitting at His feet, spending time with Him in His Word. And the last point I want to make here is you have to abide in Jesus. Abide. Okay? Abiding in Christ speaks of drawing life and strength from Him. Notice what it says in John 15 and verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the what? By the way, when we lived in Vegas, we didn't know what a branch was until we moved here. And now we know what trees are. They're really cool. You know, these big things with leaves, really neat. I know this since living here for 7 years, that if a branch isn't connected to the vine, to the trunk, what does it do? Can you just take a branch and plant in the ground? No, it'll die. It needs to be connected. Jesus saying, I am the vine. I'm the trunk. I'm the source of life. You and I, we're the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me... Now, how many of you guys would say, according to that verse, spending time with Christ is extremely important? How many of you guys would say, that's probably the most important part of my day? And if you neglect that, you're going to find yourself like Martha, cumbered about, anxious, full of fear, stressed out, empty. You can't even enjoy the things that God has given you anymore. Can't even enjoy your marriage anymore. Can't enjoy your kids anymore. Can't enjoy the things God's called you to do. Wouldn't it stink? As a pastor, you can't even enjoy the ministry anymore. You know when that happens to a pastor? When he hasn't been spending time with Jesus. You mean a pastor not spending time with Jesus? Yeah, it happens all the time. We get so busy preparing messages, we forget about spending time with Jesus. So you have to abide in Him. It's resting in Him so His life can flow through us. I want to give you two critical essentials for abiding. Time and trust. Time, give God time and trust in Him. Look, you're never going to be connected to Christ if you don't actually trust Christ. Okay, you have to trust Him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understandings. and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's not about your way or your way of thinking or of your process of religion. It's about you just saying, Lord, I want to think like you think, and I want to be like you are. Lord, I want your mind to be my mind, and I want your life to be my life. That's what it means, to abide in him. Lord, you're my life. I can't live without you. I submit to you, which causes you to die to yourself and abide in him. To abide simply means to make Jesus your home. Do you find yourself doing more and enjoying less and less? Choose the one thing that could better all other things. If you choose this one thing, everything else in your life gets better. One thing that is needed. One thing that can never be taken from you. And that's your time with Christ. In the end, what's it going to matter? When you get to heaven, what are the only things that's really going to matter? The time you spent with God. If you read Revelation 5, you know what God does with your prayers? The Bible says he stores them in golden vials. And he uses them as a sweet-smelling savor, which are the prayers of saints. That's what he says. That's how much he cares about your prayer to him. He stores them up. Your relationship with him, he stores that up. Which is amazing. Does anybody know what a bathysphere is? I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Bathysphere? Bathysphere? Okay, bathysphere. I don't even know what it is, and I'm going to talk about it. How's that? They're special deep water chambers, which are designed to cope with the extreme pressure of the ocean's depths. Okay? I don't know if there's a picture of one up here, but maybe you can kind of see what they are. They're encased in an extra thick cast steel. And they hold at bay the pressure that bears against them. They're pretty amazing. Now, when they go into those great depths in the ocean, what's funny is you look out the window and there's fish swimming outside of the portals. And they're not steel plated, these fish. They're just out there swimming around. They're pretty malleable, you know. They move around. They're not plated in steel. Yet they swim about. They swim about carefree and completely at ease in their pressure-filled life and environment. How do they do that? How is this even possible? The fish can withstand that pressure. Their anatomy, by the way, is designed by God. Their anatomy is fashioned to apply equal and opposite pressure from within. Their exteriors are soft, they're palatable, they're pliable, but their inward parts are tough as steel. Their inward parts are really hard, they're tough. When life begins to bear down on us, it's easy to put on a hard exterior, to hold the pressure and the stresses of life at bay, to put on this hard exterior. But the Christian needn't become cynical or hard to cope with the world. You guys hear me? You don't have to be hard and cynical to deal with the pressure of this world. Like the fish of the deep, we possess a power from within, which is able to match and equalize the opposing pressure from without. I love what the Apostle John said. He says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. It's looking inward. It's finding your strength from Jesus Christ that's going to help you cope with the pressures of this life. I want to give you three applications. I want to give you three action steps for this week. Number one, ask yourself if you carry the symptoms of fatigue, fear, or frustration. Do you carry those? Maybe you're sitting here today, that's me. I had that. I'm living in that right now. Ask yourself if you carry these symptoms. Then, number two, decide to sit at the feet of Jesus. Say, how do I cast out the fear? Perfect love casteth out fear. So how do I get that love? Spending time with Christ. Say, Pastor, I'm just depleted. I'm fatigued. Look, abide in Jesus and he'll fill you up. And you'll start bearing fruit. And it's not from your own strength. It's from his strength. And then number three, if you're sitting here today and you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, you don't even know if Christ is your Savior, I want to tell you this, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm pretty religious. Religion doesn't get you to heaven. Say, I was born in a Christian home. Your parents are going to stand before God for you. You're going to stand before God alone and he's going to ask you, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? What would you say? Oh, I'm a pretty good person. Jesus would say to you, there's none good, no, not one. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody good. The only person who's good is who? You say, well, then how do I get to heaven? You have to admit that you're a sinner, that you're not good. That's the requirement to getting to heaven, is to be a sinner. How many of you guys would say, I'm a sinner? Raise your hand. That's me. I've done wrong, okay? And the Bible says in 1 John, if you say you have no sin, the Bible says that you're a liar. Amen. Which then is a sin, because you just lied. You have to admit that you're a sinner, and then you have to say, Jesus, I know that you are God, that you died on a cross for my sin, and I'm asking you to save me from my sin. And the Bible says that he will save you. I got saved September 1st, 2001. Greatest day, I was 21 years old. Greatest day of my life was getting saved. Second greatest day of my life was getting married. Two greatest days of my life. Third greatest day was when my kids were born. Fourth, do you want me to keep going? Fourth greatest day was I became the pastor of this church. Fifth greatest day was when I had Tim Hortons for the first time. I love that place. Just drink up their coffee. Starbucks. It's like motor oil and then there's Starbucks coffee right there. And it's too expensive. And all the Dutch said. Greatest day of my life is when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. The greatest day of your life is when you accepted Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you done that? Have you accepted him? And if you do, Jesus promises you life, power, and love, what you're looking for. You just feel yourself empty. It's because only Jesus can fill that void in your life.